It's going to be fun on Easter. The teens are doing a special thing, and the kids are doing a special song. It'll be a really special time this coming Sunday for Easter. Whew. All right. Palm Sunday. You got to love the palm. Thank you, Ron, for getting these. I appreciate that. These are pretty wonderful. It's a great visual. It's a great reminder of some of the things that took place. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to your word, Lord, use it for your glory. Father, speak to us. Lord, I don't fully understand why you do what you do. So often I am confused. So often I feel like I would do things differently. Praise God, you are God. Father, how you came humbly. Lord, may that humility speak to us. May we have joy today, as those had in Jerusalem. May we have the joy of the Lord, because we call you our Lord and Savior, Lord. And I pray if there are any here who don't know you yet, Lord, that they would hear from you today. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their coats on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Who is this? That's kind of an important question, is it? As Jesus, the King of Kings, comes riding in. And I want to kind of break this down a little bit. As there was an expectation among the Jewish people because of prophecies of old that the time was coming, the time was near. There was an expectation that the Messiah was on his way soon, that he would come and he would defeat the Roman army, that he would restore the kingdom and set the people free from this rule. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, after Lazarus had been dead 4 days, the buzz really started to happen. People were talking, and many, many people traveled the 2 miles from Jerusalem to Bethany to see Lazarus. They wanted to see him with their own eyes. And as they saw him and they knew that he was dead and they had heard from people they trusted and those who had witnessed it themselves, and talk started to spread. The talk was that Jesus just might be the Messiah, that he might be the Messiah. What do we know from this passage in Scripture? First of all, what we see here is Jesus is claiming to be king. As he comes riding on a donkey, he's fulfilling Old Testament scripture. He's fulfilling the scripture that's talked about even here. And it's talking about how he'll come. And that he would be mounted on the donkey like the Jewish lawgivers and the rulers of the past. You know, in our world, I was in a place where the president of the United States drove past. And first of all, came this huge group of motorcycles in groups of two, and they would, I noticed that the first ones came and they peeled off right in front of me, and they stood on the side streets, and then others went, and then they peeled off and stopped on the next street, on the cross street, and all these motorcycle policemen were doing this, and finally, all of a sudden, big, gigantic black Suburbans, whoop, 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 whoop. I was counting. I was like, this is amazing. 13, 14, 15. And then some other cars. And then after that, a whole bunch more of policemen on motorcycles. I mean, it was impressive. I just stood there and I was like this. Just counting, watching. And this wasn't entering anywhere for anything fancy. This was just passing through. Just passing through. And all of this show and pomp and security. But oh my goodness, what a show it was. And here comes Jesus on this young donkey riding in. Even though it's showing that the scripture is being fulfilled in what he's doing, the scripture that talks about it brings it in a humble way. And Jesus is the humble servant, and he comes riding on a young donkey. More than 3,000 people line the streets and are shouting and cheering. And he rides to his capital. As he comes into Jerusalem, where does he go? Does he go to the palace? As he's riding through, his destination is what? Not the palace, but the temple. You see, he's the kingdom of a kingdom that is not of this world. And the people were waiting him to, the people were there and hungry and looking for something that they'd been waiting for a long time. But he's the spiritual king. And there at the temple, not the palace, he taught like he had never taught before. And here Jesus is coming. You know, whenever Jesus did miracles in the past, what did he often say to people after he healed them?
Nothing.
Shh. This is between us. Don't tell anyone. His time hasn't yet come. So he's keeping it down. This is the first time that he's saying, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for. Not only did Jesus claim to be king, Jesus also shows us what kind of king he isn't. What kind of king? He doesn't demand the crown. He doesn't come in, go straight to the palace and say, give me the crown. Give me the throne. He comes in humbly. If he had given the order, thousands of people would have rushed Pilate's palace. Remember, at this time, they were all spread out. They weren't well guarded. It was the perfect time to do it. They could have caught Pilate off guard. They could have really caused some trouble. What Jesus wasn't, he wasn't about riches. He didn't come and it wasn't that he didn't come with swag, with pomp. He didn't come with the gold sandals and the purple robe and back then the more borders in your clothing that you had, the more angles that you had, and the bigger you could make your garments, meant the more powerful and rich and authoritative you were. He wore a simple, without seams. Without seams. He looked like an everyday peasant. Simple. Who were the people that were worshiping out on the streets? Many of them were the people he had healed the 3 years before. Many of them were the people who knew he was the Messiah. They had seen him in person. And they worshiped. And they were excited. His people were not wearing gold. They were not wearing purple. Because his kingdom wasn't of this world. You see, children of God, as children of God, we really don't seek the treasures of this world to bring us joy, do we? See, if the king of the kingdom isn't about the stuff, then maybe it's not the stuff that brings us joy. How many people have we seen who've obtained more than they could imagine? And yet they're more empty than ever. Guys, this world is not our home. And this king is like no other. He's like no other. And I got to say this. What a strange king. And a strange kingdom. We've seen that Christ claimed to be king. We've seen that what kind of king he wasn't. So let's take a look at what kind of king he was. Now, we see Jesus is very strange. He had no prince in waiting. You know, the King of Kings comes. When other kings came, their firstborn male was the next in line. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's got no offspring to come after him. And as he comes, he had no army, no officers. The people were waving palm branches, not swords. This was the sword of choice for those who are following, who are there to celebrate Jesus that day. And this was for those who didn't have the coats. You know, I can just see the fisherman who's come in and heard stories and knows that Jesus is the Messiah, has nothing for the parade, and takes off his coat, and it smells like fish. And he throws it on the ground before the king. What a king he is. He makes fishermen nobles. He makes peasants princes. What a strange king. While they still remain to be fishermen and peasants, they're kings and nobles. This is Jesus' kingdom, where disciple is the highest degree one can get. One who loves and serves and gives. What does it mean to be noble in this kingdom? It means that you serve. And you serve from the heart. And you love those that the world says are unlovable. His laws are not demands on paper. Do this or pay the price. You know, when he sent word to the owner of the donkey, it was ask him. Yeah, it wasn't demanding, take the donkey, and if he defies you, kill him. That wasn't the way of Jesus. And here's Jesus riding in on a donkey, and it's not even his, it's borrowed. The King of Kings doesn't have his own donkey to ride. The laws of Christ were not on paper that brought demands. The laws were written on the heart of men. What a strange king. No pomp, no swag. The king doesn't ride on a powerful stallion. No. The king had many things that were so different. And in every way, this was a feeble parade. It was a kind of parade where people would look, people who didn't really know what was going on, and they would be judgmental. They would be looking at what was going on and not understand. Jesus, the ultimate servant king, he came to give to his people. And this is a kind of giving that other kings didn't give. He gives victory in battle without the battle. You know, often when kings would ride in, it was after the battle had taken place. They would come in, and the women and the children would be chanting. But as they're chanting, there are many who are mourning. Because yes, they won the battle, but they lost their husband, their father. But on this parade, on this celebration, there was no death. When Christ came, he didn't come with a sword and bloodshed. He came a different way. This king came and he didn't demand taxation. The people willingly took off their coats and gave from the heart. And those who didn't have that, they went and cut palms and laid them down so that everyone could willingly give. And the king doesn't put us under the law, but under grace. Guys, it's a strange kingdom with a very different king. And my hope and prayer this Sunday is that we understand that we would almost put ourselves as though we were watching this parade before us. As Jesus came riding in triumph into Jerusalem, what are the effects of the kingdom? As Jesus comes riding in, what are the full effects of the kingdom? Everyone has something to say about this event. Everyone who was there had something to say about this event. There wasn't one who wasn't moved to some thought or way of thinking about what was going on. The first group maybe weren't on the streets. More of them were on the rooftops, a little bit further away. The proud-hearted, those with the Pharisaical heart, those who looked and said, "What is this? This is a king? This is the Messiah? How's he going to lead us? Look at what he's wearing. This is an embarrassment. This surely couldn't be the king." The proud-hearted that think of themselves better than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Those who look at Jesus, and there's many today who look at Jesus with that same heart, guys, and say, "I want to follow the ruler who rules by authority, by power." Our world understands power, doesn't it? And Jesus came different than anyone ever came, past or since. He came in humility, and he came to serve. The proud on the rooftops. Then there's those who are in the back of the mob, the curious. Those who are nearby and wanted to see. They're the kind that want to see the miracles when Jesus was. They didn't want to get too close and converse with him, but they wanted to see is the magic of it all. Wow. Jesus healed that guy. Jesus did these things. That's impressive. Huh. The curious. Guys, knowing about God is not knowing God and being known by God. It's not enough to get to the back of the crowd and look over and wonder and have a religious understanding and a curiosity of he could be a good man. He could be a good teacher. Remember the scriptures when they asked, "Who is this?" What was the answer in verse 11? A teacher. There he is. One of the teachers of this day. Some were saying Messiah. The third group that was there was the envious. Those who had power and were not going to give it up for anyone in any way. Here comes this man riding in, and he thinks he can take my glory? Life is about me. Survival of the fittest, baby. This is what it's about right here. And you come against this, it's over. The proud-hearted, those who see Jesus even today, and as they see Jesus, it's not a humble king. They see a challenge to my authority. You see, we've been saying for a lot of years, I want to say what's right and wrong in my life. I want to be the one who makes the rules for me. You can believe what's good for you, but for me, this is my truth. We live in a world where absolute truth is stupidity. Everything's right. Nothing's wrong. But if you think logically, does that make sense?
No.
If you write on a test, 2 + 2 = 3, what does the teacher do? Marks it wrong. But I believe that 2 + 2 = 3. Sorry, you got it wrong. But I know it's my truth. Sorry. It's not right. See, the envious want to make their ideas what is worshipped, themselves what is worshipped. Can you see the rabbis of that time? Hillel and others? I studied at the best schools. Who is this? He's a carpenter? Where's he from? Who are his parents? What do we know about this guy? Does he come from the right family like I do? Yeah, he's of the heir of David. At first glance, you might not see his bloodline. But his bloodline is the only bloodline that matters. Because if we are in the bloodline of Jesus Christ today, we are brothers and sisters. We might be all different colors, all different cultures, but we have the same bloodline, the bloodline of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is what unites us for his purpose, for his will, for his blessing. We don't get to say we know more. And then there's the fourth group. It was those who, as Jesus came riding through, they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Son of David. He's the Messiah." And they rejoiced. Guys, they rejoiced as this humble king dressed in everyday clothes goes quietly on his horseback. They are not quiet. They are cheering and yelling. What is it that causes these people to rejoice? Maybe it was because they had so much more than everybody else around them. Except if we look, those who are rejoicing don't have more. They often have less. That's great. They had faith. They had the thing that mattered. They had the things that were eternal. They had riches beyond compare in God's kingdom. But God's kingdom and man's kingdom are not the same. It's a strange kingdom we're a part of. And we've got to understand that. The riches are beyond what we can know, and yet we don't see them fully now. But we see them in part. When you've gone through the worst moment of your life and you're not broken, are you weeping? Yes. But God is with you and you feel his strength and you turn to him at those moments and he is your strength. He is your God. He is the one you turn to and you're given enough
to not be alone. You're given enough to get through the trial. You're given enough to be made whole during the trial. We're given enough to have an understanding of peace and calm in the midst of the storm. The things that would destroy others don't have to destroy us. The challenges that we face, guys, some of you right now are in the midst of some unbelievable challenges. And God is right there with you. And He knows your heart. He knows what you're going through. He's with you through the whole process. Those who rejoice. I want to ask you this question. Of those four, which are you? Are you the one who's proud? Who says, I'd do it different? Are you the curious who's looking from afar? Interested in the miracles? Interested in the blessings? Interested in what Jesus can do, but not willing to humble yourself before Him as a servant before the King? Maybe you're envious. Maybe you look around and I want more. Jesus hasn't blessed me. Where's my stuff? Where's my kingdom? I'm living in want. Others have what I want. Or are you those who are rejoicing? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Guys, it's a strange kingdom. It's a kingdom like no other. And this kingdom asks for a response. You don't get to watch the parade and not have an opinion. Everyone there had an opinion. What's yours? What do you say as you see Jesus coming through? Not what do you think? What do you kind of... I get the history of it. I get the story. What from your soul, from your toes, what do you say? Who is this man, Jesus? Who is he? That's the question that's being asked. Who is he? When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the Son of God. This is Jesus, the Messiah. This is Jesus. No, it was, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The teacher, the prophet. Guys, don't miss who Jesus is. Don't get it wrong. It's the most important question that's ever asked of us. Who is this Jesus? Because it means the difference of how we live. It also means the difference of when we die. Because we get to be with the King of Kings if we receive Him. But if we say, I don't need you, He says, okay. He doesn't force. He's not the King who comes in and demands us to worship Him. But we will be responsible for our choice before Him. You might say, well, that sounds harsh. Well, let me ask you this question. Can you force love? Can a God demand love and beat up his people so much that they choose to love him? Love isn't given when we're in fear of... Love is given in response to what? Love. We love him because he first loved us. Guys, Without his love, we have nothing. We accomplish nothing. Nothing is of value without him. Because the world is saying, you know what? We're just another animal, and when we die, that's it. There is something in your soul and in your mind that says, no. You look at all the other animals and you see there is a difference between humans and everything else. You know what that difference is? We were created in the image of God. Who is this man, Jesus? My prayer is that all of us can come and answer that question before our God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's the one we've been waiting for. Do you know him? Not do you know about him, do you know him? Because if you know him, you know that he loves you, and we get to love him back. It also means something very different. As part of his kingdom, we're no longer the beggars and the fishermen. We're no longer the broken, the wounded. You know who we are? We're his children. We're his family. We're his heirs, princes and princesses. We are heirs to the King. We are children of God. The whole kingdom is ours. More than what we can possibly imagine. I don't know what heaven's like. I know it's good. I'm looking forward to it. I want to ask you this. When you think of heaven, do you think, oh, I've got things I want to accomplish? Or do you think of, oh, man, bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Give me a little bit of heaven. Someone said both. The only way that I don't think of bring it on right this now is I think of the people who I know and love who don't know him yet. And I think, God, give me a little more time to share, a little more time to love, a little more time to reach out. But apart from that, come now. Man. Guys, he's riding in. It's not a huge spectacle. It's a humble way that he's writing it. And he's asking to humbly come into our hearts. We need to humble ourselves to receive him. Are you willing to humble yourself? My prayer is that you are. And for those of us who have already received him, God, take it all. All the stuff that I'm still holding on to, all the pride, all the bitterness, all the anger, all the self-justification, self-righteousness. Lord, take it all. Do what you need to do in my life to get rid of this junk so that I can see you more clearly, Lord. Who do you say Jesus is? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know. You know our hearts, Lord. You know where we lack. Lord, you know where we're full of ourselves. You know where we're proud, Lord. Forgive us for our sin. Father, thank you that you came. Not in man's splendor, but in eternal splendor. Lord, what must the spiritual world have looked like as you were coming in? What were the angels doing as you came in? Father, what kind of celebration was taking place that wasn't seen? The King is here. The King is here. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you that we get to love you back. We thank you that you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Father, humble us of our pride. All the junk that's in us, all the self-focus that's in us, Lord, let us get our eyes off ourselves. We choose to worship you. What a beautiful ceremony is before us, eternally speaking. May we go out as our King rode in. May we go out with that humility. May we serve those and put others above ourselves. May we reach out to our neighbors, even the ones that are harder to love, the annoying ones, the weird ones, the mean ones, the angry ones, the broken ones, the lying ones, the untrustworthy ones. Lord, may we love the way you love. We can't do it without you doing it through us. So we choose today to die to ourselves and to have you live through us, Lord. Show us how to love as you loved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.